The reading is taken from Genesis chapter 28, beginning at verse 10 and continuing to 29, verse 1. If you're using the church Bibles, it's page 22. Jacob's dream. Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran, and he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city was Luz at the first. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, If God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat, and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you. Then Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east.
Well, good morning, everyone. Great to see you all and great to be with you. I was expecting to be serving the tea at the back this morning, so you never know what to expect. But it's tonight we will be back, and I'm looking at continuing, as the pastor asked me, to continue his series of seeing Jesus in the Psalms. And he's asked me tonight to look at how we see Jesus in Psalm 16, and next week, Psalm 22. But this morning, we're back in Genesis. It's a book that I have done quite a bit of studying in, so when there was something last minute to be done, obviously Genesis was right up there in my thinking. And the story that Joanne read so well to us is a story about a family, a rather dysfunctional family. There were two boys. Mother had her favourite, who was called Jacob. And father had his favourite, called Esau. And no doubt there were tensions there, because father always seemed to prefer the food that Esau provided, which he thought was tastier than the food that his wife provided. And you can imagine there must have been a few tensions of all sorts in that family. And then when dad one day said, I'm going to give my blessing to my son Esau. I want you to make that dinner that nobody else can make of the wild venison, the one that I love, and then I will give you my blessing. I will give you, what was blessing? It was success. He would give him the power to succeed. It was believed that a father's blessing could do that, you see. Well, mother was listening, and she wanted the blessing for her favourite son. Anyway, it was a good chance to show dad that she could make just as good a food as Esau, and he would never know the difference. And he didn't. He didn't know the difference. She got it ready quicker, and Jacob stole his father's blessing. The blessing that was meant for Esau came to Jacob instead. We're told that he liked to prepare food too. He was a man who liked the indoors. He was not a hunter like his brother Esau. He preferred tents. He liked to be at home. And so he then pretended to be his hunter brother. He wore his clothes. Jacob was smooth skin. His brother was very hairy. So they dressed him up with the remains of the goat skin that had been made for the special meal. And he stole the blessing. He cheated his brother. He lied to his father. And he never showed any regret for any of it. And this man received a blessing that was meant for somebody else. Now let's look at what that blessing entailed. What was the blessing he stole? The contents of it are in chapter 27 of Genesis 26 to 29. And here are the contents of that blessing. The blessing he stole, this is what he got. Or this is what he wanted. Plenty of grain and wine. That was a major part of the blessing. Let people serve you. That was another bit. Be Lord over your brothers. Your brothers shall bow down to you. That is what he stole. That is the blessing he got. But you know, the Bible makes it clear that he did wrong in a very subtle way. The Bible shows you that this blessing never really came true. It says, your brothers shall bow down to you. Esau never bowed down to Jacob. But when you go further on in the story, right to the a few chapters further on, you find that Jacob bowed down to Esau 7 times, not the other way around. The blessing that he stole was not a genuine blessing. It was not what he should have been looking for. It was not what God had intended for him, and it was not what his father had intended for him either. So the stolen blessing, he was a person who was very deceitful. Actually, his name can be interpreted as deceiver. And so, as a result of this, his brother was so angry with him that Jacob had to flee for his life. Now, you've heard already that he was a man who liked to live in tents. He left home in a hurry, no camel, no donkey, and no tent. He paid for his sin. He paid for the wrong thing that he had done. And his journey in total to go to his mother's relatives, the journey was 550 miles. He set off from Beersheba. Beersheba is a lovely city. Can't resist telling you, I was there 3 weeks ago. It was brilliant. But anyway, Beersheba is the most wonderful, was right on the edge of the desert, a picturesque place, and right in the middle of it, there is still a well that is so deep you can't see the bottom of it. And that might possibly be the well that Jacob and Abraham before him and Rebekah and Isaac got their water from. We don't know, but it's certainly a strong possibility. So there he was, a man who liked that life in the town, and because of his sin, he had to leave home on a journey of 550 miles. And the first night, he stopped at a place called Luz, later to be called Bethel. And as he tried to get to sleep there, he didn't have a soft pillow with him. He used a stone for his pillow. And as he lay down to sleep, he fell into a deep sleep, and he had a dream. He saw a ladder, probably not a modern sort of ladder, probably a set of steps. And these steps went very high indeed. They went all the way up to heaven. Earlier, there was a story of people who tried to build a tower to heaven. And, you know, they never left the earth. Heaven was a long distance away, so this was a very high ladder. And at the top, up and down the ladder, angels were going up and down from heaven to earth. And then we are told that God was there too. But where was God? Was he at the top of the ladder, or was he standing beside Jacob? Well, the NIV reads this: there above it stood the Lord. The Lord was at the top of the ladder. But the word for above it in Hebrew is al-av. Al, to go up as in el-al, av, it, above it. But al-av can also mean, al can mean beside, and av can mean him. So it's quite possible to translate it a different way, like this, as the Jewish Study Bible does. And the Lord was standing beside him. And remember, the next morning he said, the Lord was in this place. And you know, the English can only say one thing or the other. It can either say God was at the top of the ladder or God was beside him. It can't do both. But the Hebrew can. And both things are true. Because this is one of the great themes of the Bible that hold the whole Bible together, you see. There are themes that we call biblical theology themes. They start in the Old Testament and they go right through the whole Bible. And one of the greatest themes in the Bible is that the God who's away up there is the God who comes down here to you and to me. God is the great God. Last week, Pastor was teaching us about the vastness of the universe that God has created. He's the one who threw the stars into space, who spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. He's the great God who holds the universe together. God is the God who's away up there. But isn't it good news for us today? That the God who's so high and so great and so powerful and so far beyond us that we cannot even comprehend his greatness, he is also the God who comes down beside us. He is the God who stood beside Jacob. He is the God who spoke in that dream to him. And the next morning he didn't say, isn't it wonderful that God's at the top of the ladder? He said, God is in this place. And I think that it's not superficial to apply that to us today, that it's great to meet with one another. But what a great truth it is that we don't come here just to meet with one another, but that the Almighty God is in Great Victoria Street this morning to speak to each one of us, to bless us, to meet us where we need him, and to do his good. Isn't that great? He is the God who's away up there, but he's here today. He's here for you and me to reach out to. And he will never, never refuse those who come to him. So what did God promise Jacob? Did he promise him the same blessing that he stole? God then promises Jacob blessing, and it is a different sort of blessing. What he promises Jacob is this. He says, through you and your offspring, all the families of the earth will be blessed. That was God's blessing. Compare that blessing to, you'll have plenty of grain and wine, you'll have loads of servants, and everybody will bow down and think you're great. That's the blessing he stole. But the blessing that God offered him was that he would be part of God's great plan to change the world. That's a different category of blessing. that he would be part of God's way of salvation. He would point forward. You see, the Old Testament is always doing that. It's always going somewhere. It's taking you to promises that are still to be fulfilled in the future, in the New Testament. And so this story that the God who's way up there is the God who comes down to us is fulfilled wonderfully in the New Testament. And Daniel has been taking us through the Gospel of John. And he mentioned a story, I don't know if it was last week, he mentioned a story about how a man was coming to Jesus. He'd been brought by Philip when Jesus was choosing his disciples. And Nathanael came towards him and he said of him, "Behold an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Now Jacob's name eventually became Israel. He gave his name to the Israelites, but his old name meant deceiver. And so let me give you a different, slightly different translation of this. Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and he said, "Behold an Israelite in whom there's no Jacob." And Nathanael thought, but you don't know me. Just by the way, I thought I would throw out the idea that the word for deceit here in the Greek is the word for fish bait. That's deceitful, isn't it? You're promising the fish a nice, wholesome bite to eat, and you're going to put a great big hook in its mouth. I hope I'm not offending any fishermen, but that's a good illustration of deceit. And you know, that same word, when Jacob deceives his father says to Esau, "Your brother came and stole your blessing by deceit." And he uses the same word in the Greek Bible. So anyway, that's by the way. This story of God coming down to meet us is fulfilled in Jesus. And Jesus said this to Nathanael, who obviously was waiting for the Messiah. And as Daniel pointed out when he was dealing with this, Nathanael was puzzled. He said, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." I was reading recently an American commentary on the Gospel of John, and the commentator said, "You know, if this was happening today, Jesus would say to Nathanael, earlier on when you were sitting in McDonald's, I saw you, or KFC." No, that's not really true, because a fig tree was something very special in Jewish thought. Number one, it was a great place to get shade. And 3 weeks ago, I was in 40 degrees plus, one day it went up to 45 by the Dead Sea. And I can tell you, that's warm. Others have been worse, I'm sure, Yanni, but 45 was warm enough for me. I can tell you, and to find a tree to sit under to read the map was a great thing to do. But according to Jewish tradition, it was a great place to read the Bible, the Torah. And the Jewish tradition had this statement, "Just as one constantly finds figs when he approaches the tree, since they do not all ripen at the same time, so too one will find something, always find a new taste in the Torah. A good place to study it is under a tree." So the fig tree was particularly symbolic of reading the Bible. You can read the Bible anywhere, of course, and in Israel you'll see this happening much, much more than you would ever see it here. You will see people in a bus reading the Bible. You will see people in an aeroplane reading the Bible. And this time, I saw a young girl, probably 14 or 15, standing at the traffic lights reading the Bible. You know, even though it was, "I'm not going to waste 1 minute." And she had the Bible open, and then when the traffic lights turned green, she went off, and next set of traffic lights, the Bible was open again. But the best place, one of the best places to read, was under a fig tree. And what Jesus then said to this man was, "I know exactly what you're looking for. You're not a deceiver. You're looking for the Messiah." You're looking for God coming down, as in Jacob's ladder. And then Jesus goes on to say, I tell you the truth, you will see heaven opened and the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. What was he saying? He was saying, I am Jacob's ladder. I am the one who comes from above, the one who made the world. You see, Jesus wasn't just any human being. Jesus was God, but he came to earth as a baby so that he could, as it were, bring the God who was away up there down to a level that would reach us. He became a human being so that he could reach human beings like you and me. And it just fulfills that same theme that the great God away up there comes down to where we are. And that happened in no greater way than in the life of Jesus Christ. And so he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How can we ever please God? How can we ever get the genuine blessing and be part of God's great plan? How can we do that? Jesus said, I am the way. But how can we really be sure when there's so much deceiving around, when Jacob's name meant deceiver? How can I be sure? Well, Jesus is the truth. Everything that he says comes true. And how can I have genuine blessing, real blessing that starts now? No, not just blessing when I get to heaven sometime, but real blessing. How can I find life that is really satisfying? Jesus is the life. How can I get to heaven? He is the way. How can I be sure? He's the truth. How can I be satisfied? He is the life. And so, in a wonderful way, he helps people to meet God in a way that we could never do of our own. But I'm not finished with Jacob yet. I want to go back to one more little Hebrew lesson from Jacob that I love. It's something that you'll never find in an English Bible. And it's the reason why I asked Joanne to read chapter 29, verse 1, because it just says that Jacob departed, right? But that's not what the Hebrew says. The Hebrew says Jacob lifted his feet. Now, that to me is interesting because later on, at the end of Jacob's life, the last thing he does when he's about to die is he lifts his feet into the bed. And that's like two bookends, at the beginning of his encounter with God and at the end of his life, he lifts his feet. Now you see, I think that day that he met God, he left a different person. He had not gone to Bethel with great enthusiasm. He had not sprinted there. He had no real desire to go there. He liked tents. But now he lifts his feet. I think he gets a new spring in his step. Recently, my wife and I have been doing quite a bit of hiking, and I've learned how to walk up high mountains quite successfully. But I wasn't always like that. I used to hate walking. When I was a little boy, my dad and mum used to love to go walking, especially on a Sunday. And I would get further and further behind, hoping that they would turn and come back that way, you see. And I would walk, dragging my feet. And I still remember my father saying, James, it was Ballymena now, so you might not recognize the words, just the accent so easily, but he would say, James, would you lift them feet and come on? Would you lift them feet and come on? Lift your feet meant get a new spring in your step. Get going, man. Come on. Get moving. And when Jacob met God, he got moving in a new way. He lifted his feet and he got moving. He'd got a new spring in his step. Why? Because God told him he was part of something big. It wasn't just grain and wine he was getting. He was getting a new promise that God was actually going to be with him where he would go. He would bring him back again. And more than that, through him and his descendants, God would change the world. And that was pointing to Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. That is how it all tied together, you see. You see, in our world today, people are living without any purpose, really. It's very easy to feel sorry for people for whom this life is all there is and nothing more. Isn't that sad? If this life is all there is, you see, it's a bit like if you have no real idea that you're going somewhere, it's just like going round and round in circles. If you have no idea that you're going somewhere, it's pointless. And people that don't know Jesus, don't know that they're going to heaven, going round and round in circles. But you know, when you know him, then he gives you this new perspective that we are part of God's great plan that began way back in the early days and met its fulfillment in Jesus, who came to earth as a human being and then paid the price for my sins, for the wrong things that I've done, by dying on the cross of Calvary. And that's good news, so that we can be part of God's big plan now too. We can be part that we know we're going somewhere, and we know who's going with us, and we know that we'll be with him forever, and that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. There was a very famous lawyer in America that took a great deal of pride in helping people who were sort of the underdogs, you know. But he didn't have. That was his life. He didn't have anything after that. And this is what he said life was like. Clarence Darrow, you called him. He said, life is like a ship that is tossed about by every wave and every wind. A ship headed to no port and no harbour, with no rudder, no compass, no pilot, floating for a time and lost in the waves forever. Isn't that rather sad? And you know, that's what many people are facing today. That's what their lives are like. They're looking for the sort of blessing. They try to get the sort of blessing that Jacob tried at first. Plenty of grain and wine. Here's what one of the Beatles, George Harrison, here's what he felt after they'd got all the grain and wine, if you like, all the money they wanted and all the fame. He said, at first, we all thought we wanted the fame. After a bit, we realized that fame wasn't really what we were after at all. After the initial excitement and thrill had worn off, I, for one, became depressed. Is this all we have to look forward to in life? And Jesus came to say, it's not. He came to give real, genuine blessing, not more and more and more things. Things don't satisfy you. The more you get, the more you want. What really makes a difference in life is knowing that there's a purpose in it, that you're here for a reason, that you're going somewhere, and that it's all been genuine blessing. And there's a verse which says, godliness with contentment is great gain. I love that wee verse, and I finish with it, because godliness simply means knowing God, living close to him. And that is genuine blessing, great gain. The more money you get, the more you want. And it doesn't really satisfy. It's great to have food and clothes and money, but that's not what we're here for. Genuine blessing is knowing God. And if we believe in him, it's just a refreshing thing this morning to remind ourselves that we've got something that money can't buy. We have got something as Christians that money can't buy. We've got genuine blessing in knowing God, in knowing Him as our personal Savior, in knowing that He has promised that someday He's going to come again and take us to be with Him, and we're going home. That's something to give us a new spring in our step. We can lift our feet like Jacob and say, "Yes, Lord, You've renewed the joy of my salvation." It's thrilling to know that we're part of something big, that we're part of God's great plan, that He has a plan to save the world, and you and I are part of it if we know Him as our Savior. If you have never trusted Him, then today is a great opportunity, because Jesus died for you. He came right down that ladder from heaven to earth, and He died to save us from our sins. But He didn't stay dead. He rose again from the dead. He's alive forevermore. And someday He's coming again. And so praise the Lord today that Jesus is still the way. He died 2,000 years ago. But that's not ancient history, because He's alive today. And He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. So praise God that old Jacob learned his lesson for a little while. He still had lessons to learn. You know, he didn't return to Bethel when he had a chance for many, many years. He still was the one who created bargains with God. But in the end, if God used somebody like Jacob, somebody who made so many mistakes, there's room for us all yet, isn't there? Amen. God bless His word to our hearts.